January 26th. No alteration was visible through the day. He expected another trying night, but the Lord favored him with many visits throughout it. At one time he burst out, "Come, Jesus, open the door and take me in. And thou openest, and none can shut. Oh, give me patience. Come, my Jesus." January 27th. The family thought that he could not live the day out, and he was very ill all the following night. When he had strength to talk, it was about Jesus wanting to praise him. He said, "Thou art my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." He was so weak on the 28th that those who were with him were obliged to put their ears close to his mouth to distinguish what he said. After a while he fell asleep. On awaking he said, "Dear Emmanuel, captain of our salvation, all is finished. All is done, blessed Lamb of God. Ah, Lord," he said, "suffer not the devil to plague me. He would rob me of thy dear self. Do be with me. Thou knowest my heart. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I want to glorify thee. How good it is to appeal to him. He has said, 'Come, and let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.' Bless him. He gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I have, and am nothing but ashes, and I mourn like a dove, if the Lord leaves me but one moment. O thou lovely Lamb of God, what promises surround me." In his sleep, he sometimes would say, "Come, dear Jesus, come nearer. I want thy dear self. Oh, I wish I was with thee." January 29th. Water began to ooze from one of his legs. At this time, he was very ill and weak indeed, and at times his weakness almost overcame him. "O Lord," he said, "do keep me in my senses. I am hanging on thee like a cup on a nail. What a God thou art! Thou hast but to speak the word, and it is done. To that rebel Saul of Tarsus thou only saidst, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' This brought him down in a moment, saying, 'Who art thou, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.' Oh, this put an end to his doing the devil's work. Then he had to do thy blessed work. And where was I when thou stoppedst me? Why, on the road to Bolton, determined to have my fill of sin. Oh, I thought I should have dropped into hell every moment. Ah, what he does is like a god. To some of his disciples he said but two words, 'Follow me,' and they left all and followed him. What omnipotent power." January 30th. He was exceedingly weak, and there was a great discharge from the leg, and he had a little sleep all night. He burst out, "O Jesus, when shall I be with thee? Come, my Lord, come. I want to see thee and crown thee." On being asked to take a little wine and water, he said, "It's too much for such a wretch as I. Oh, how I have abused my dear Lord. Yet see the mercies I am surrounded with, and what he has done for me so many years." January 31st. Early in the morning he spoke out in raptures, with saying, "Jesus, Jesus, it is now. But stop," said he, "my God loves uprightness. It is 47 years ago that he told me, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, world without end.' Emmanuel, Emmanuel, thou Lamb of God that didst die for me, and thou hast cancelled my sins. Oh, what love! What love! Oh, my children, I hope you will follow me. Beware of the world and that hateful sin, pride. If you want to see its hatefulness, look in the Garden of Gethsemane at the Son of God. For should it dare to enter there, 'twould soon be drowned in blood. I have that hateful sin in my heart, but it only crawls and creeps about, it cannot reign. Oh, my dear children, if you get into trouble, soul trouble or natural trouble, go to God. Don't trust to an arm of flesh. Oh, that robe of righteousness covers me. Emmanuel, victory, victory. Oh, I am not afraid of death. Death, death, and thou hast no sting for me. No, my Jesus destroyed that when he cried out, it is finished. Oh, bless him. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, he said, I think the doors of glory are opening. Oh, the heavenly host, the heavenly host. At this instant my mother came into the room. On seeing her, he lifted up both hands, exclaiming, here are two rebels saved by grace, all of grace. We have had many trials together, and we have lived with each other more than 60 years, but it will not be long before we shall meet again. Then what an eternity we shall spend together. But it is too much to think of the glory. Jesus, 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 when shall I be with thee? These raptures quite overcame his weak frame. Oh, he said, how weak I am in the body. After a little while he fell asleep. When he awoke, he said, 2 months ago the Lord told me it would be through fire and water nearly to the end. Then heaven would open, and my ransomed soul would enter in. Now I feel as though I was waiting for something. In the evening his daughter Ruth was sitting with him. Oh, he said, how I have abused the Lord. About 40 years ago, how anxious I was to be a great man, a great preacher. I was angry with the Lord, very angry sometimes, because he would not give me those gifts and abilities that I wanted. Oh, there is no mortal who has abused the Lord as I have done. After a while he looked about and said, I little thought at one time I should have no more than my length and breadth for a sleeping place. He was then retiring to the sofa, not having been in bed for many weeks. When I was taken ill, he said, those words were very precious to me, and have been, I may say, scores of times when I have been in trouble. Be still, and know that I am God. Well, continued he, the scripture says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I believe there have been two or three this day begging that I might have a happy end. Bless the dear Lord. He cannot do wrong. What a mysterious way the Lord has brought me. I was thinking and wondering today if anybody else was brought as I am. It is said, if a man's ways please the Lord, he will make his very enemies to be at peace with him. My ways please the Lord, yet I have got all manner of evil working in my heart, and I feel at times everything that is dishonoring to God. It was said to him by someone in the room, you are like Paul, the evil you would not, that you do. I can say, he answered, there are two parties in my heart, one serving the devil, and the other hating a wandering thought. He was very weak throughout the day, and had a sleepless night. February 3rd. Oh, he said, my Lord is gone. What shall I do? He promised to be with me. He was told that the promises would never fail. I know it, he said, but I want to feel the power of them again and again. Oh, this cursed unbelief! Why should I dictate to the Lord? He is a sovereign and has a right to do as he pleases with me. After a while, he said, poor John H. will be disappointed. He was asked, what about? Why, if he gets to heaven and I get there, which will have the loudest song? The remark was made to him that the Lord's family were in one mind about that. Well, he said, that voice comes again, be still, and know that I am God. Sometimes, he continued, I think I am wrong, because I have no fear of death. I think I ought to fear that more, but I cannot. February 8th, when his daughter Ruth went into his room and asked him how he was, he answered, about the same. Sometime after, he said, I had a dark night last night. I do hope the Lord will turn my captivity. I feel like David when he said, O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Why, father, said one of his children, you say you are in the dark, and yet you say you are never without a hope. No, my child, I can say I am not sunk so low as that, and I have the promises surrounding me, but when my Jesus is gone, I am shut up, and I have no rest till I have found him. These words, he said, came very sweet and precious to my mind. Your time is always ready. All that I seem to long for now is that he will give me strength to see a few friends and talk to them, then give me a sight of his glory that my soul might be full of his love, and then open the heaven and take me home. He continued in a calm, quiet state for some length of time. In February, Mr. Gorton, who was then supplying at Trowbridge, called to see him. Mr. G. describes the interview as follows. 7 weeks before his death, on February 9th, when I entered his room, I found him in a very weak state, and, as I then believed, near his end, yet not so near as some had said that they thought he was. I asked him how he was. He took me by the hand and said, very weak, very weak. Well, I said, the Lord is all-sufficient. He answered, he is very good to me, but I cannot talk much. No, thought I, but you can think and talk to the Lord. And the words dropped upon my mind, they that thought upon his name. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And I was satisfied there was one of his jewels before me, who would shine in glory with his Lord forever. He spoke again to me and said, I have been very much helped under my affliction, and at times have enjoyed much, but I want more of the Lord's presence. But there, I cannot talk. And his head dropped. I then said, the Lord, who hath been your help for so many years, will fulfill his promise in your soul's experience and never leave you. He then lifted up his head, and looking at me very steadfastly, the look I shall never forget, said, Gorton, do you think it possible for a soul to have the promises and the sweetness of the promises and not be interested in the covenant? I said, no, never, Mr. Warburton. If a soul have the promises and the sweetness of the promises, that soul must be interested in the covenant, ordered in all things and sure. He then said, well, I have had the promises, and found them sweet and a support to me, but at times Satan tries me, but God is faithful who hath promised. I cannot talk, so I must say farewell, and the Lord bless you. I answered, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. Farewell. And I left him, never to see him again in sinful flesh. February 10th, Mr. John Gadsby, being again in Trowbridge, accompanied by Mrs. Gadsby, expressed a wish to see him once more, but my sister told him that orders had been given by the doctors that he should see no one. Upon learning, however, that Mr. Gadsby was in the house, he would have him upstairs. Mr. Gadsby found him much reduced in body and evidently fast sinking. He asked him how he felt in soul matters, for he had no wish to trouble him about temporal things, though he saw he was surrounded by heavy expenses. "I have no particular joy," he replied, "but I am just where I have been for many years, lad, resting upon God's free sovereign grace and mercy." On the 13th, Mr. and Mrs. Gadsby called again at the house to take leave of the family. Before taking their departure, however, the dear old man sent word by my sister that he should like to see them once more. They went upstairs. The interview was brief, and it was the last they ever had with him. Nothing particular occurred from this time until the commencement of March, when he had another severe attack of illness. The medical gentleman said that he could not survive long. From that time, at intervals, he appeared hardly conscious, excepting in matters of religion. But in all soul matters, he was perfectly conscious to the last. On the Sunday previous to his death, a letter was received from a friend. On the contents being made known to him, he burst into tears and said, "It has been my desire once more to go round and see my old friends and tell them how good the Lord is and how precious he is to me." All that day he appeared to those around him as if enjoying the sweetest communion with the Lord. And in the evening he remarked to his friends what a comfortable day he had spent both in body and soul, and how happy he was with the blessed testimony within that the Lord was his God. A sweet smile seemed on his countenance. In this happy state he continued until Wednesday, when a visible change in his body took place for the worse. Thursday, April 2nd. All his children who resided in the town were summoned to his bedside. One of his daughters said to him, "Father, you feel Christ precious and want to praise him in glory." He lifted up both hands and, pointing with one finger with fixed eyes, as if gazing on some delightful object, exclaimed with peculiar emphasis and perfectly distinctly, "I haven't room. I haven't room." Between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it became difficult to understand what he said, but to all around he appeared full of raptures, his lips continually moving as if talking to himself, and lifting up both hands continually as if enjoying the sweetest communion with his God. Not long before he died, he appeared anxious to say something. One of his daughters, putting her ear close to his mouth, she heard him say, "Pen, ink." On which she replied, "Do you want to write, Father?" He said, "Yes." Pen, ink, and paper were brought to him. He took hold of the pen and held it in such a way as to cause surprise to all his children present. He tried to make a mark, but could not. He looked very earnestly at his daughter and said, "You can write." She inquired, "Father, what must I write?" He said something, but none could understand what he said. On which his daughter said, "Is it anything about the church you want us to know?" He shook his head and firmly said, "No." Another of his daughters said, "Is it anything respecting the family?" as before, he replied, No. Is it to tell us how good the Lord is to you in your last moments? He lifted up both hands and, waving them with peculiar delight, said, Yes, yes. He still continued to appear as if those around him did not sufficiently understand him. With great exertion, he lifted up both hands, pointing with his finger and laboring to articulate something. At last he said, Hal, Hal. Then followed with a firm voice, without a waver, Hallelujah. And he immediately breathed out his soul at 7:15 p.m. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. John Warburton.